Tonight we are talking about the devil. I don't like him very much. I don't know about you. But, you know, the Lord's really been blessing the church. But at the same time, look at all these physical attacks on all the different members. And that's just the way the devil is. He just never stops. And so here in verse 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Verse 9, "whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So I've entitled it, "Your Adversary, the Devil." Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your wisdom, your presence, your guidance tonight. We pray that we would leave changed by the power of your word. It's so wonderful to know that we can commit all things to you, that you are the God of the impossible. And we ask that tonight, Lord, you would use your powerful word in each of our lives. May we open our hearts and hear from you and respond. We give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So that word sober means serious. Too many Christians are not serious about the Christian life. They take it flippantly. They're just cruising their way to the rapture. And we can't be that way. We need to be serious about why we're here, why Jesus saved us, what we're left to do. And God wants us to be sober about the Christian life. In 1 Thessalonians 5, the Bible says, verse 6, "Let us not sleep as do others, but let us be sober." And he goes on to say down in verse 8, "Let us who are of the day be sober, put on the breastplate of right, of faith and love," and so forth. So we are here to be serious about the Christian life. But he also says in verse 8, "be vigilant." You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that we're soldiers of Jesus Christ. And soldiers are to be vigilant, aren't they? We're to be vigilant. When Jesus returned after praying, as it were, great drops of blood, found his disciples sleeping. What did he say to them? "Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation." He said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Watch and pray, be vigilant. He was telling them, "I'm going to be leaving soon. I'm going to the cross very soon. Then I'm going to go back to heaven. You guys need to learn to watch and pray. You need to learn to be vigilant because the devil's going to come after you." And of course, he told Peter that. We'll see that in a little while. He told Peter directly, "Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat," he said. Why do we need to be sober and vigilant? Verse 8, "because your adversary, the devil," because he's real. Now, the devil is strong and powerful. None of us are going to deny that. Much more powerful than we are individually, but praise God, not as powerful as Jesus. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." But we still have to respect the fact that he is our adversary. He's our enemy. He's out to get us. He's angry with us once we get saved. He doesn't want us to be effective for Jesus Christ. And so he just never lets up. And the Bible describes him many different ways. Here he's referred to as our adversary or as our enemy. In another passage in Revelation, he's referred to as the accuser of our brethren. That's in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. In other words, he not only tries to accuse us, like we see in the book of Job, in Job's life, but he also tempts us to accuse others. He's referred to as a dragon in Revelation 20. He's referred to as a father of lies in John 8, verse 44. The god of this world. He is a murderer, Jesus said in John 8:44 as well. He is the prince of the power of the air. We looked at that when we went through the book of Ephesians chapter 2. He's the prince of this world, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. The tempter, Jesus referred to him as the tempter in Matthew 4. He's the wicked one and the wolf. That's just some of the descriptions of the devil. None of them are good. He's our enemy. We must never forget that. That's why we've got to be sober. We've got to be vigilant because the devil isn't taking it easy. The devil is serious about wanting to slow us down, about wanting to ruin our testimony, about making sure that we're not an effective believer in Jesus Christ. We must be sober because your adversary, the devil, it says, as a roaring lion. So of all the things that Peter could have compared the devil to here in this verse. He compares him to a roaring lion. Now, we all know the lions are called the what? The king of the jungle. Why? Because they're at the top of the food chain. And if you've ever watched how lions work, when there's a herd, what does he do? He goes after the weak ones on the fringe. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. That he always goes after those Christians that are not strong, not grounded in their faith. He's always out there looking on the fringe for those weaker ones. Ah, I can go after that one. You know, in the book of Numbers, remember the Bible talked about all those Jews that were in the uttermost part of the camp. The ones that were kind of out on the fringe. And there's Christians like that too. He also, if you watch lions, they go after the strays. If there's a herd, if there's one off by itself, that's who the lions go after. And there's actually a verse like that in Proverbs 21, if you turn there, talking about his lion-like qualities, our adversary, the devil. Not only does he go after the ones on the fringe, but the lions go after the strays. Notice Proverbs 21, verse 16. The Bible says, "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." You say, well, what's a stray Christian? Well, there's plenty of them. Whenever we're out witnessing, just past Saturday, Mark and I were out talking to people. It's amazing how many people out there claim to be Christians. They're not doing anything for God. They're not going to church. They're astray. They're just wandering. Targets for the devil. And the lions also go after the weak ones, don't they? That's who the lions always focus on. They don't go diving into the herd, right into the middle of it, to get trampled to death. They look for the ones that are straying. They look for the ones that are injured or weak in some way. And they always go for the fringe. Am I okay, Doug? Is that accurate? You've probably seen them in the wild, right? Deuteronomy 25. Let's see an example of this. Deuteronomy chapter 25, again, from the life of the nation of Israel. And this is an example of what the devil does. This was the Amalekites when they attacked Israel. Notice Deuteronomy 25, verse 18. It says how he... Now this is referring to Amalek or the Amalekites here in Deuteronomy 25:18. It says, "And how he met thee by the way," and look, it says, "and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God." And God's now going to punish the Amalekites for what they did. But did you notice who they went after? It says, "the hindmost and the feeble and the faint and the weary." That's what a lion does. And that's what the devil does. Because he's as a roaring lion. And what does he do? It says, verse 8 of 1 Peter 5, "He walketh about." Unfortunately, the devil has full run of the earth. Matter of fact, he is the god of this earth. He's the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. We read in Job, again, we think about Job when he went to accuse God said, "Where have you been?" What was his answer? "Running to and fro throughout the whole earth." That was the devil's answer. "Lord, I'm just running all over the earth, wreaking all the trouble I can wreak, seeking whom he may devour." Look at Luke chapter 22. This is that passage I told you about where Jesus was trying to warn Peter. Luke chapter 22. And I want you to see what he said to Peter about the devil. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." That's the devil. Because Jesus knows everything, and Jesus knows the devil as well. He said, "Peter, the devil wants you." And what happened? Warming his hands by the enemy's fire, denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, God is a God that goes after the strays and brings them home. And after he rose from the dead, he told the women, go tell the disciples and Peter. He specifically said, make sure you tell Peter that I'm risen from the dead. And I'm not done with him yet. And then you read the book of Acts and look how God used Peter. But he warned him. The devil, as a roaring lion, is after you. And you know what? He's after all of us. So what's the answer? God gave it to us in verse 9. Let's turn there. So our adversary, our enemy, the devil, he's angry, he's troubled, he's powerful, he's strong. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because he's after us. What does the Bible say, verse 9? Resist. So we're commanded to resist the devil. Isn't that interesting? We're not commanded to just sit back and say, oh, it's all good. I'm a Christian. No worries. No, that's not to be our attitude. Our attitude is, we're in a war with the devil, and we are commanded to resist him. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. Here we're commanded, resist steadfast in the faith. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. So these are all conscious efforts. These are all things that we have to do. They're not things that just automatically happen. We can't just sit back and say, I'm a born-again believer, Jesus lives in me. The devil's no issue. I wish we could do that. Wouldn't that be nice? Greater is he that's in me and he's in the world. The devil's not going to cause me any trouble. Well, that is not true. We are commanded to resist him. Why in Ephesians 6 are we told to put on the whole armor of God? What's it say? That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, the devil is going to come after us. He's got his wiles. He's got his darts, as we read also in Ephesians 6. And we're told to do something. Put on the armor. We're told to do something. Resist. Steadfast in the faith. We have to take positive action in preparation for these attacks that will come. Now, we talked about this recently when we looked at Matthew 4, maybe 4 months ago or so, but we need to look there again because we need to learn from Jesus himself, from his wonderful example here in Matthew 4, how do we resist the devil? And Jesus made it so easy for us to understand. He made it so clear. When it comes to resisting the devil, Jesus did not say, I'm more powerful than you, let's get into a fist fight. He didn't say, I'm going to call down fire from heaven and erase you. Of course, he could have done so. No. Every time the devil, and remember, he'd already been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Imagine how you would feel after that. In the flesh, he was weak. 40 days in the desert without eating. And then the devil came. Not till after the 40 days. And then the devil came and began to tempt him here in Matthew 4. Verse 2, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after and hungered. When the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. And if you study all three times that the devil tempted Jesus Christ, that was his answer. He quoted Scripture. He said, oh, that's just too simple. Really, because I don't find any other time in the Bible where we have an example of someone resisting the devil, and it just happens to be the Son of God. And what did he do? It is written. It is written. It is written. And if you study it out, you'll find that the devil tempted Jesus Christ with all three of the sin categories listed in 1 John 2. What's the Bible say? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So, John tells us that sin can fall into those three main categories, and sure enough, the devil tempted Jesus in all three of those areas. Lust of the flesh, he was starving. Command that these stones be made bread. Lust of the eyes, what did he tempt him with? All the kingdoms of the world. Pride of life, cast yourself off the top of the temple and the angels will catch you. Which is just pride. Show off for me. Prove that you're the Son of God and jump off and watch the angels catch you and keep you from falling. So he tempted him with all three of those sin categories. And all three times, all Jesus did was, I shouldn't say all he did was, he quoted the sword. Amen? Back to Ephesians 6, where we're told to put on the whole armor of God. What is the offensive weapon that we've been given? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17. Everything else you read about that we're to put on is defensive. To protect our loins, to protect our head, to protect our feet. But the sword is offensive. If we're to resist the devil, that's an offensive move, isn't it? That's not a defensive move. That's not a stand back and try to survive move. That's a resist. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He quoted Scripture. So this all brings us back to the importance of the Word of God again. The whole book's about suffering, remember? And as we go through suffering, we need to be in the book. That is just as true when it comes to being able to stand against the wiles of the devil, being able to resist the devil. We must be people of the book. And that's why in Old Testament and New Testament, we're commanded over and over again to hide it in our heart, to meditate in it, to study it, to read it over and over. A couple of examples, most of you know these, Deuteronomy 6:6, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Most of us know Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Most of us know Psalm 1, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 1:2. Psalm 37:31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. I'm sure all of you know Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We could go on and on. What's God telling us? He wants the book to be in here. We need to be studying to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to be hiding it in our hearts so that we have the ammunition ready, so that when the devil does come, the Holy Spirit can pull out those pieces of ammunition and we're ready to resist. Most Christians aren't ready to resist. That's the problem. The devil comes along and tries to tempt in this area that they weren't expecting. They're like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Better call the pastor. No, we need to resist the devil. And Jesus told us how. So do we have a plan? Are we memorizing Scripture? Are we studying the Word of God to show ourselves approved unto God? Are we taking our time in the Word every morning? Which, we got to have time in the Word every morning. No exceptions. And meditating on that through the day? As the Bible says, we're to meditate day and night. Are we doing those things so that we're ready when the devil comes? He's coming. Guaranteed, he's coming. And then Peter encourages the believers here in verse 9. He finishes by saying, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. You are not the only one that's been attacked by the devil. And you're not the only one that's been attacked by the devil in that particular area that he happens to be attacking you. Which may be happen to be your besetting sin, he mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12, a sin which doth so easily beset us. It might be, but you can take encouragement to know that others have fought that same battle. And you know who else has fought that same battle? Jesus. You know, look at Hebrews 4:15. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. That tells us that there is no temptation that comes our way that Jesus didn't experience. That's amazing that he did that for us. All points. So Jesus understands, and we have brothers and sisters that understand. So it doesn't hurt to go to them. The Bible talks about the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. A lot of times, the person to talk to when you're facing a certain battle is someone who's been through that same battle. And they can say, well, this is how I got through it. I stumbled a couple times, but God brought me through it. Because many of the afflictions are the righteous. Psalm 34:19. They're coming. The devil's real, and I'm not trying to scaremonger anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. if Jesus doesn't come back in the next month, you're going to have an attack from the devil during that time. That's the facts. That's the truth of it. Are you ready? He's ready. He's vigilant. He's sober. He's strong. He's got a lot of helpers. Are we ready? Are we sober? Are we vigilant? And are we ready to resist as we're commanded to? Because the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you that such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. That's a promise from the Lord. There is a way. There is always a way, or God wouldn't have allowed it in the first place. So our adversary, the devil, he's real. But well, we'll finish with that encouraging note. Greater is he that is in you, 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. Jesus, if you're saved, he lives in you. He is more powerful than the devil. He made the devil. And one day he's going to cast the devil into the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever. Praise God. And just before it happens, the Bible tells us, and I don't quite understand how this is going to work, but there in Romans chapter 16, that we're going to put our heel on his neck. That's what the Bible says. Maybe we get to take turns. All 100 million of us or whatever, how many saved people there will be in history, get to put our heel on the devil's neck before he gets cast in the lake of fire. So that's one time where we don't have to follow the rule about loving your enemies. The Bible doesn't tell us we have to love the devil. It's not talking about the devil. It's okay to not like the devil. Because he's our adversary and he's out to get us. But never have to despair, amen? We have Jesus. And we have a sword that's more powerful than he is. Praise God. Let's pray.